Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Mem Vav. We left off on daf Mem Hey Amud Beis. We are at V'Taima Mai. And what today's shiur, first of all, is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by Ron Markovitz for Refuah Shleima for his good friend's father, Yosef David Ben Yeta Miriam, and also by Jonathan Lewis, L'Zecher Nishmas, his mother, Marsha Lewis, Marsha Tzvia Bas Shlomo Zalman Halevi, Aleha Shalom, whose yahrzeit is today, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah through the zechus of our learning, and we thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So as we mentioned, we left off at V'Taima Mai, three lines from the bottom of the page, and the first thing we're going to discuss is what we left off with yesterday, which is explaining the issue with moving a menorah and why moving a menorah is different than moving a ner. A ner is just a single kli that holds a single wick and an oil. A menorah is a more elaborate candelabra, and we distinguish between, we'll see if there's any room to distinguish between different types of menorahs, and we're going to further qualify the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish about moving a menorah. Then the Gemara is going to go back to the discussion of how Rabbi Yochanan holds in the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon with regard to muktzah, and also how Rebbe holds with regard to the machlokas, Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Shimon with regard to muktzah. On the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to discuss a ner shel neft, that a ner that becomes particularly disgusting from the type of fuel that was used in that ner may have a different halacha than a regular ner, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to ask a stira in Shitas Rabbi Shimon with regard to muktzah. On the one hand, we're going to have a halacha about a bechor behema, and that does not seem that it was designated from before Yontif for use. And on the other hand, the Moser Hashem and Shabaner, leftover oil in an ner, where we're going to assume the bechor is muktzah, and the Moser Hashem and Shabaner is not muktzah, and it's all Rabbi Shimon. So a stira within Rabbi Shimon, and the Gemara is going to try to resolve that stira based on what a person could possibly or probably anticipate from before Shabbos becoming available on Shabbos Yom Tov. And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to discuss why Rabbi Shimon forbids holding a lit candle. What's the problem with moving around a candle that's already lit? The knee-jerk reaction is, of course, because Shami Yechabe, you might come to extinguish it. The problem is that we're talking about Rabbi Shimon over here. Rabbi Shimon is the one that holds Davar Sheina Miskavein, is mutter. So that's going to be the last discussion, Be'ezras Hashem, on the daf today. So let's begin three lines on the bottom of the page. Mem Hei Amud Beis. What is the reason that we are more strict about moving a menorah than any other type of muktzah? So Rabbi Rav Yosef Damri Tarvayu, hol vadum kaveh lamakom. Now a menorah is special because a person designates a specific place for it and typically doesn't move it out of its place. That once it's there, it's meant to stay there, and anything that you're kaveh lamakom becomes a certain level of muktzah where even Rabbi Shimon is going to view it as muktzah. What exactly is that? What category of muksa is that? The category of koveya la makom. So Tosus explains that by being koveya la makom, you're demonstrating that you're very nervous about it breaking, and that's why you don't want it messed with. You don't want it handled. You don't want it moved. A person won't use it for anything else, and that's a familiar form of muksa. The idea that you would never use it for anything else, that's what we call muksa machmas chesrun kis. Muksa machmas chesrun kis, that something is valuable enough to you that you wouldn't want to use it for anything but its originally intended purpose, and if you would never move it because you don't want to use for something like that, so that's what Tosfos writes back on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, that that's probably the form of muktzah called Kaveh Alamakom, is the muktzah Machmas Chesron Kis. So Amalei Abaye L'Rav Yosef. So Abaye says, Rav Yosef, really, any time you're Kaveh Alamakom, it's going to become muktzah. V'arei Kilas Chasanim, what about a Kilas Chasanim is a canopy that they would put over a bed. It was like in a triangular shape. It widened as it went further down. Dadam kaveh lo makom. Typically, it's left there. A person does not move it around. V'amr Shmuel mishum Rabbi Chiya, and yet Shmuel says the name Rabbi Chiya, kilas chasanim, mutal inatosa, umutal lefarka, b'shabbos. A person is allowed to spread out the kilas chasanim, and he's allowed to undo the kilas chasanim on Shabbos. But if you say that even Rabbi Shimon is going to aser tiltal of a menorah because a person is kaveh lamakom, so kilas chasanim, a person is also kaveh lamakom. Why would anyone hold that it's mutter to move it? So Ella Amr Abayis, Abaye says, you know what? When Rabbi Shimon forbids moving a menorah, it's not based on Kaveh Lamakom. We're changing our mind now. The Abaye says, Rabbi and Rav Yosef were incorrect in their initial answer. This is not based on Kaveh Makom. Now, Tosus points out that even though it's not based on Kaveh Makom, that form of muktzah still exists. Meaning, it's just not the Isra of Menorah. The Isra of Menorah is based on something else. But there are certain things that a person is koveh lamakom to a very great extent, like a klei umnus that the Gemara is going to explain, the Gemara is going to discuss later on, daf kuf chav gimel, where everyone's going to agree that on account of the kviyas makom, it becomes muktzah. It's just that the menorah person is not so koveh lamakom that it would fit that that category. Akilas chasanim, person is not koveh lamakom to the extent that it could fit that category. So then what's the problem with moving a menorah? So the Gemara explains, Bishal Chulios. It's not really even a muktzah issue. The menorah is made out of different pieces, and Rabbi Shimon Asr is moving it because of a chashash that you might drop it, it's going to fall apart, and then you're going to put it back together, and that's going to be a violation of Tikkun Kli when you put it back together. So it's an issue not of muktzah, it's an issue of melacha, right? It's always important to distinguish between the two. My daughter was just having this conversation with my wife. She started calling everything muktzah, and my wife was trying to explain to her, no, you're talking about melachos. Those are asur to do because it's a malacha, not because it's muktzah. I have a friend who's a particularly he's a Talmud Chacham and somewhat of a litvak, very makbid on proper definitions. When his child was like in 3-year-old nursery, the Mora said something about you can't color because that's muktzah, and the kid said no, it's kaisiv doyraisa, it's not muktzah. So a person has to know the difference between. So the Gemara is saying this isn't an issue of muktzah. This is an issue of a gezeira that you might be misakin a kli. So it says Gemara, ihachi my time with Rabbi Shimon Lakish Deshari. If that's the case, then why is Rabbi Shimon Lakish matir being metaltel a small menorah? Meaning we said that Rish Lakish holds that if you have a menorah that you could carry with one hand, that's what we left off with yesterday. The last thing we learned yesterday was that if you have a small menorah that you can carry with one hand, there was machlokas Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, and Rish Lakish said that it's mutter. But if there's a legitimate concern that it will fall apart and that you'll put it back together, so then why does Rish Lakish allow it? So it says Gemara, my chulios, ke'ein chulios. No, the case is not a menorah that could actually fall apart. It has grooves on it that make it look like it's made of chulios, that it's made of different pieces. But in reality, this bechidki, it has these grooves on it, but in reality, it's really one piece. Hilkach chulios ben gadol ben katana asur l'taltel. So the Gemara just clarifies a little bit further the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish about moving a menorah. If you have a menorah that's actually made of different parts, it doesn't matter how large or small the menorah is. It is asur to be metaltel such a menorah because of the legitimate concern that it will fall apart and you'll put it back together, and that's going to be a violation of tikkun kli. That everyone agrees. Gedola nami dis bechidki gzeiratu gedola de chulios. Everyone further agrees that if you have a large menorah that just has grooves on it that make it look like it's made out of different pieces, that too is going to be asur because people will easily confuse that with a menorah made from different pieces. Ki pligi b'katana dis b'chidki. The whole machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is if you have a small menorah and it's not actually made from different pieces, it just has grooves on it that make it look like it's made from different pieces. So Mar Savar Gazrinan, Rabbi Yochanan says we're going to make a gezeira that you're not allowed to move it so that people won't think that you're allowed to move a menorah of chulios as well, the menorah made of different pieces as well. Umar Savar Lo Gazrinan, and Reish Lakish says we don't make any such gezeira. So if a menorah is very small and it doesn't actually have different pieces, it just has grooves, Reish Lakish would say you're allowed to move such a menorah. So now the Gemara goes back to the discussion that we've already had as to how different people hold in the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about muktzah in general. So we're going to revisit Rabbi Yochanan and we're going to revisit Rebbe as far as the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in general. So Miyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, wait, does Rabbi Yochanan hold that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that there's an ikser in muktzah, meaning we had in yesterday's daf that Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef said that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara is going back to that question. Is that true that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda about muktzah? Vam Rabbi Yochanan lach sta mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan taught us another important rule, and that that is that we always paskin like a Stam Mishnah, Utnan, and I can find you a Stam Mishnah that seems to assume like Rabbi Shimon. So how can Rabbi Yochanan speak out of both sides of his mouth at the same time? On the one hand, he's telling me that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, he paskins like Stam Mishnah, and we're about to show a Stam Mishnah that's familiar to us that paskins like Rabbi Shimon. Utnan, this is a Mishnah we already quoted earlier. This is the Mishnah about the large wagon that has wheels attached to it, but the wheels can come off, and the Mishnah discusses with regard to four different halachos to what extent the wheels are part of the wagon or the wheels are apart from the wagon. So Muchni Shala, the wheels of this wagon, Bizmanchi Nishmetes, if it can be removed, Ein Chiburla, it's not considered a single kli with the wagon with regard to Tumah. That was halacha number one, that if Tumah touches the wheel, the wagon does not become Tame. Tumah touches the wagon, the wheel does not become Tame. Halacha number two, Ve'einim Dedesima, when you measure the size of the wagon, remember that the Beis Shammai held that everyone holds that a kli that can hold 40 sa, kli ababamida, is not a kli that's Mekabal Tumah. It's no longer as a regular kli that's Mekabal Tumah. But Beis Shammai held we do that measurement by what the kli can contain, whereas Beis Hillel holds no, we do it by the entire volume of the kli, including the dofne kli, including the walls of the kli. So when you're measuring, according to Beis Hillel, the volume of the kli, you don't measure the wheels along with it. That's considered to be a separate entity. Ve'in matzelisim abalames, and halacha number three: if there are kalim inside the wagon and the kalim hover over the wheels as well, and it goes over an olames, it goes over a dead body, so the wheels do not protect the kalim that are over it from becoming tame. Only the wagon itself can protect that which is on top of it from becoming tame by forming an ohel over the kever. Ve'in goronosa, and halacha number four, ve'in goronosa, and this is the reason we're quoting it over here, ve'in goronosa b'shabes b'zman shi'esh alei ma'os. You're not allowed to drag the wheel when there's money on the wheel on Shabbos, because the wheel has then become a basis l'davar aser, and that's why it is muktzah. You're not allowed to drag the wheel. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is, Tosfos pointed out earlier when we first quoted this, that the wheel does not become batel to the wagon, even though the wagon is really an ikker, because since the wheel can be removed, it's not considered a part of the wagon, and that's why you're not allowed to drag the wheel, because it's not considered, it's not. You might say, well, the wagon doesn't have money on it, the wheel has money on it, and the wagon is really the ikker over here. So it should really be like you're dragging the wagon, which doesn't have money on it. So no, the Mishnah is telling me you're not allowed to drag it when there's money on the wheel, because the wheel is still somewhat of an independent entity. But the diuk we want to make from this Mishnah, ha'ein ole'amos sharia, it sounds like if there's no money on that wheel right now, then you're allowed to drag that wheel. V'alfagav da'havula b'nashmashos, even though there was money on that wheel during b'nashmashos, who's the one that holds that even though something was muktzah ben hashmashos, it does not necessarily become muktzah kol hayom? That's Rabbi Shimon. So here we have a Stam Mishnah that says like Rabbi Shimon. So now the kasha becomes clear. Well, how could Rabbi Yochanan say that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yochanan is the one that taught us we're supposed to pass like a Stam Mishnah. And here you have a Stam Mishnah that doesn't say, but implies like Rabbi Shimon. That's important. It doesn't say explicitly like Rabbi Shimon. It just told us about a wheel that has money on it. But the mashmos of that is that if there's no money there right now, even though there was money on it during Ben Hashmashos, that it would be mutter to move, because we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. That's how the Gemara is medayik. So Sfasemes raises the question, how could you consider that a diuk, that diuk to be a Stam Mishnah? It could be that the Mishnah just doesn't want to get involved. Meaning, instead of getting involved in the Machlokas Rabbi Shimon, the Mishnah gives a case. The case that the Mishnah actually spoke about, everyone agrees to. Right? That if there's money on it right now, it's a Basel Dover Aser. Even Rabbi Shimon agrees to that kind of Muktzah. So the Mishnah just wanted to give a case where every single person agrees. But you can't be medayek that the Mishnah is necessarily taking a stand in the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. That's how the Sfas Emes raises that kasha. He doesn't give an answer to that kasha. also, even though this Stam Mishnah seems to say like Rabbi Shimon, there is another Stam Mishnah, the Rishonim point out, that goes like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Metaltim Ner Chadosh Aval Lo Yashan, and that's going like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon holds you're even allowed to be Metaltel a Ner Yashan. So don't bring me a Stam, Rabbi Yochanan says, Halacha K'Stam Mishnah, how could he say that? There's a Stam Mishnah that goes like Rabbi Shimon. No, we have another Stam Mishnah that goes like Rabbi Yehuda, so Mimanav Shuch, you're going to be going against a Stam Mishnah. So the Ritva gives two answers to that question. First of all, he says, this is not a Stam Mishnah about all Dine Muksa, it's only a Stam Mishnah about Muksa Machmas Mius. And we're trying to establish what Rabbi Yochanan holds as far as the other Dine Muksa where Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda disagree. So our Mishnah about a Ner Yashan is not really going to help us because that's particularly about Muksa Machmas Mius. Second, he says, it could be the Mishnah Mem Dalet is not considered a Stam Mishnah. This is a fascinating Chiddush because he says, right after that Stam Mishnah comes a Machlokas. And when you have a Stam, V'achar Kach Machlokas, it's like Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is giving us an indication not to be Machshiv that Stam Mishnah as a Stam Mishnah. Meaning Stam Mishnah, we assume that Lachas K'Stam Mishnah because we assume that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is trying to indicate to us that this is the standard, that this is the baseline, this is what we're supposed to assume in Judaism. But if right away he follows it up with a machlokas, it's a stam, v'achar kach machlokas, then clearly he's making it very clear that there is no such intent in making that a stam mishnah that we should paskin in that way. So now back to the Gemara. So the Gemara asks the question: How can we say that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda? There's a stam mishnah that goes like Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yochanan is the one that tells us so. He's paskin like a stam mishnah. So Rabbi Zeira tei mishnah seinu shelo hayu alav. Ma'os kol benash mashos shelo lishbar dvar v'shel Rabbi Yochanan. You know what? We have to say that the Mishnah that doesn't allow moving the wheel on Shabbos that has money on it, and that which we allow when there's no money on it must be when there was also no money on it during benash mashos. Meaning we made the wrong diuk. We made a diuk that it's always going to be mutter to move it if there's no money on it right now. Even we then added even if there was money benash mashos. So take away the even. No, if there was money on it benash mashos, it would be Asir. We're only allowing you to move it if there's no money on it. And there was no money on it during Ben HaShemashos. It's quite an ukimta to make in the diuk, but that's what we do in order to make sure that Rabbi Yochanan can be saved. Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So now we're just going to discuss what Rebbe held in this machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon. So Pamach Hashalach Rebbe l'diosfera. Rebbe went to a place called Diosfera. V'hora b'menorah Rabbi Shimon b'ner. And he paskin by menorah like Rabbi Shimon by a ner. Well, wait a second. Those are two different things. Menorah and ner are two different things. So if you wanted to write a vague statement, you couldn't do a better job than that. What does that mean? That hora b'menorah can Rabbi Shimon b'ner. So the Gemara says, Yibayiluhu. What exactly does that mean? Hora b'menorah can Rabbi Shimon b'ner lehetera. Is he saying that just like Rabbi Shimon allows being metaltel in Ner Yashan, Rebbe even went so far as allowing being metaltel a menorah? Wow, so he was totally makil. Odilma, hora b'menorah leisura. That you have to say it's like two statements. That number one, he paskins like by menorah a hora'a li'isura, that he paskins that it's aser. And he paskins like Rabbi Shimon b'ner lehetera, that he paskins like Rabbi Shimon that you're allowed to move in Ner Yashan. So which did he mean? Did he mean to be makel by a menorah? Did he mean to be machmir by a menorah? So teku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved. Now normally when you have such a lashon of hora, that hora, so the Gemara tells us in the first paragraph of Ksubas that hora never implies an iser. Hora'a always implies a heter, because it's always easy to asr something. Hora'a implies that a person needed some confidence, he needed some strength in his psak, he needed to know something to give such a psak. To say that something's asr, anyone could say that. That's the easy thing to do when you don't know what the halacha is, so it's always, you play it safe, and you say that something's asr. So the Gemara leaves it as a teku over here, even though the lashon was hora, and hora always implies that it's a heter. Because to say that it's a heter would mean going against the whole sugya we had before, meaning that he's going to allow a menorah. We said even Rabbi Shimon does not allow a menorah, so he would be going in uncharted territories. So you have competing factors over here. One, that he said hora, that implies a more makel opinion, and the other, that to be makel would mean that you're going against everything we said before about a menorah being more strict. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses other Amoraim. Rav Malkia, Ikla lebe Rav Simlai, v'tiltal shraga. Rav Malkia went to Rabbi Simlai's house, and he moved a candle that had been lit when Shabbos was when Shabbos had started, meaning a ner yashan, exactly like Shitas Rabbi Shimon. He just followed Shitas Rabbi Shimon and his metaltel such a ner. But v'ikbed Rabbi Simlai. Rabbi Simlai, who was the host, got very upset about that. Rabbi Yossi Galila ikla laasred Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yossi Galila didn't go to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina's house. He went to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina's city, where Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina was the Mara Diasra, and Tiltal Shraga, Vikvid Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, and he started doing like Rabbi Shimon, he was Metalta the Ner, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina got very upset about it. So it's important to note, these are two different limudim in Derech Eretz, in how a person is supposed to behave. The first limud is that when you're at someone's house, you have to have respect for the host. If they hold that something's Usser, even though you hold it's Mutter, don't go doing it in front of them. It's not Derech Eretz. Second is, even if you're not in front of them, you're not in their house. But if there's a Mara Da'asra of a particular makom, so you don't go to that makom and do something, you're respectful, you try to conform to whatever they insist on in that makom, whether you agree to it or not, as long as it's not a kula. There are some shuls you can't get an aliyah unless you're wearing a hat, other shuls you can't get an aliyah unless you're wearing a talis, you can't get an aliyah unless you're wearing a tie on Shabbos, and the Yisrael will win you, can't get an aliyah unless you're wearing a tie on Shabbos, so you could huff and puff about it, and that you're all upset, and that's their minug in that place, and then you follow. Of course, this is not just minug. Over here, what we're discussing in the Gemara is very clearly halacha, right? That if that's the way they paskin, so then you follow their psak halacha. Rabbi Avo ki ikla la'asrei to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. When Rabbi Avo went to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's town, have a metaltel shraga, he would be metaltel candle, but ki ikla la'asrei to Rabbi Yochanan, love a metaltel shraga, but when he went to Rabbi Yochanan's town, he wouldn't be metaltel the candle. Says Gemara, well, what does he really hold? If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, so then do like Rabbi Yehuda, and you should never be metaltel the candle. And if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, do like Rabbi Shimon, and always be metaltel the candle. So the old Rabbi Shimon svirle mishum kvodet Rabbi Yochanan who delo hava avid. Really, he held like Rabbi Shimon that it's mutter, but out of the covet of Rabbi Yochanan who held otherwise, he was extra machmir like Rabbi Yochanan's shita. Obviously, that has to be the answer, right? It can't be that really yelled like Rabbi Yehuda that it's Asir, but Mishum Kvodo of the Mara D'Asra, he's going to be Makel on something that he holds as Asir. No, it's only in that direction that he takes on an extra Chumra because of the covet of Rabbi Yochanan. Am Rabbi Yehuda, Shraga D'Mishcha, if you have a regular Ner with Shemen, Shari L'Taltula, you're allowed to, after it gets extinguished, you're allowed to be Metaltula, it's not Muktzah Machmas Mius, meaning this is Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that in Ner Yashon you're allowed to be metaltel. No chiddush in that line. The chiddush is dinafta asal etaltela. If the Ner was lit with a fuel called naft, nafta, then it's asr to be metaltel because nafta is masriach. It has a very, very foul odor, and once the Ner is used for nafta, it's not going to be usable for anything else. Rabbi Rav Yosef Damir Tavayo, dinafta nami shayel tatula. Rabbi Rav Yosef say, no, even if it was used for nafta, it still has some other use, and therefore it's not muktza, you're still allowed to move it. The Gemara is going to explain what that other use is. So the Gemara first brings a maisa. Ravavia ikla lebe Rava went to Rava's house, have him isan be kari betina. So he walked into Rava's house, his shoes were full of mud. So isve apurya kameda Rava, and he went and he sat down on the couch in front of Rava, the way they used to sit beheseba, right? Heseba was a sense of kavius that they would have. They would sit on like these couches, and apparently from this Gemara, they would pick up their feet on the couches as well. They were totally leaning, and not like we lean, you know, on the arm of the chair on the night of the Seder or something, you know, or a little pillow that we have and turning the chair sideways or something like that. They had couches there, and they would totally lie down with their feet up on the couch. So he did this when he was, the Gemara talks about in Maseches Brachos on Daf Mem Beis, talks about in order to be motzi others in something, you need to be Bas Seba. If you're only Yoshev, then you're not able to be motzi others in something. You need to be Mesav in order to be motzi others. So the Pashtus is, that the way that all the Rishonim understand it, is that it's not about how vertical or horizontal your body is, it's about how much of a sense of kvius you have. That the way they used to really be koveya themselves for a suda, meaning what we would call, you know, grab and go, taking something, that's what the Gemara called Yoshev. But Haseba meant that they're actually sitting around the table. That's why for Kiddush Makom Suda, a number of the poskim suggest that it's that a person has to be koveya themselves in that makom, and that involves knowing exactly where you're sitting. So a lot of times, which should come again soon, that we're able to have company for Shabbos meals. So it's important to let the company know where exactly they're supposed to be sitting, so that they could be sometimes, oh, I'll make Kiddush now, we'll wash, and then I'll let you know. Then I'll point, and I'll, whatever, and then we'll figure it out. But no, it's better to, that they know in advance exactly where they're supposed to be sitting, so that they can be koveya themselves. That's the inyan of Mesav. And in order to be motzi others, that's the comment that Tosas has in Maseches Brachos, where Tosas says he doesn't understand why it is that the minhag is that we say Havdalah standing up. Because after all, you can't be motzi other people when unless you're Mesav. So at least for us, it should be when you're Yoshev. So why is it that we say Havdalah standing up? So Tosas has some sort of answering. He says, but probably better that we should sit for Havdalah. My uncle Julius Berman told me that once Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole shiur during Shalosh Shudas about why it's important to sit for Havdalah in order to be motzi others, and a whole shtikl Torah, a whole lamdus, and then right after Shabbos was over, they honored Rav Soloveitchik to say Havdalah, and he stood for Havdalah. And they said, you just gave a whole shiur about why you're supposed to sit for Havdalah. Why did you stand? He said, what do you mean, why did I stand? My grandfather stood for Havdalah, so I stand for Havdalah. I think that's the overwhelming minhag, is to stand for Havdalah. So anyway, so he sat, again, what's the story over here? Rav Avya went to Rava's house, his shoes were full of mud. He goes and he sits on the nice white couch, and he puts his feet up on the couch. So Ikbid Rava. Rava wasn't too happy about this, right? What's the Rebbetzin going to say? So Bailitzure. So Rava decided that he's going to be Mitzayer Rav Avya. He's going to ask him questions that are going to drive him crazy, and that way he's going to embarrass Rav Avya, because Rav Avya is not going to know the answer to these questions. So Rava asks Rav Avya, "My taima, Rabba Rav Yosef Dar Mitzvayi Shroga Dinafta Nami Sharila Tutule." So that's the question he chose to ask him. Why did Rabbi Rav Yosef say that even a candle that was used with nafta fuel, you're allowed to be metaltalut? What use does it have? After all, it's muktzah. So amalei hol v'chazil chsuy be'mana. Now you could still use it to cover a kli with on Shabbos. So since it has some sort of use, it's not muktzah. Elameyata, if that's the case, anything you can cover a kli with is not muktzah. You can go out to your chatzar and pick any rock, any pebble, any stone, and be metaltalin, because you could use it to cover a kli with it. Everything is right to cover a kli with. So Amalei, Rav Avya said, Ha'ika taras kli aleha. No, only something that itself is a kli and also has some sort of use is not mukta. A pebble, a rock, while yes, you could use it to cover a kli, but is itself not a kli. Hani, these tsroros leka toros kli alehen. They don't have a din of a kli, and therefore they're not miyuchad at all for any mutter use, and they're going to be mukta. So now Rav Avya brings a raya. Milo Tanya, didn't we learn in a brisa? Hashirim vanizamim vatabaos harehen kikola kelim anitalim b'chatzer, that different types of jewelry that women wear, even though they're not allowed to wear them on Shabbos, but as far as tiltul shalok kederek levishasim, as far as moving them around, not when they're wearing them. If you need them, you need the makoma and the tzorach gufo, the tzorach makomo. You need the space that they're taking up. Let's say so. Then it's like any other kelim that you're allowed to move in a chatzer. Va'amarula matamin. Ula says, why are you allowed to move them? After all, their primary purpose is to be miskashet b'hem, and you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. It's because they have a status of a kli, so as long as they have a status of a kli, you're allowed to be metal to them. So over here as well, the ner shel neft, the ner that was used with the neft, is mutter to be, you're allowed to be metal to it, because it has a toras kli, and it has some sort of usage that you can be mechasa other kelim with it. Amrav Nachum Yitzchak, Brich Rachmana de lo Kasefe Rava le Rav Avya. Oh, thank God Rava was not successful in embarrassing Rav Avya. That would have been terrible to embarrass a Talmud Chacham like that. So despite Rava's best efforts, Baruch Hashem, he was not successful in embarrassing Rav Avya. Rav Avya had the answer like that. He knew exactly how to answer this question about Torah, that there was a Torah's Kli Aleha. Now, 2 points over here. Point number one, what's this issue that women are not allowed to wear jewelry on Shabbos? Where does this come from? So we're going to have a sugya in a couple of weeks from now about a week and a half, that the Chacham do not allow a woman to go out by Roshos HaRabim when she's mekushetes with her tachshitim, when she's wearing all of her jewelry on Shabbos, because they made a gezeira that she might take them off to show her friend, that her friend's going to say, wow, that's a beautiful, the case is a crown, in the Irshel Zav, they used to wear a certain type of headband or a crown, that's such a beautiful crown you're wearing, and she's going to take off her crown and show how beautiful it is to her friends, and then they're going to carry it four amos in Roshos HaRabim, and that's going to be Anissa Daraisa. So as Machlokas Rishonim, whether that also applies in Chatzar Mu'reves. Let's say you have a community that has an Erev around it. So would that same Isser apply? So the Ritva is Medayik from Rashi that it's only in Rosh Hashanah and Chatzar Mu'reves is going to be Mutter. But Tosfos and the Ritva and the Ran and other Rishonim as well say that even in a Chatzar Mu'reves it's going to be Aser because we're afraid that she's going to go out into a Rosh Hashanah. And the, one of the Kashas the Ritva asked in Rashi is that why do we need Ula's reason? Without Ula's reason, you're allowed to be metal to the Tachshitim because you're allowed to be miskashik by him in the Chatzer. Meaning Ula's reason is, oh, they have a Torah's Kli. Forget about Torah's Kli. You can use them. You can actually use them on Shabbos as long as you use them only in the Chatzer. So that's one of the rayas against Rashi. Tosos also explains that they're only matir being metal to the Tachshitim litzorich. But shalom litzorich, it's us to be metal to even shalom kederich levisha. That's what Tosos writes over there. But again, we'll get more into that soon. When we get there. So that's point number one. The second point is, what of all the questions that that you can challenge someone with, that Rava wanted to embarrass Rav Avya with, a question about a ner that was used with Nape, like you always imagine that if someone has a plan to embarrass somebody, he envisions the conversation going a certain way, right? So what did he envision? In what way was this, was it just going to be, I don't know, he just figured that this was something he did? Would that even embarrass him? Chassam Sofer raises the question. So he doesn't know every Brisa. No one is expected to know every Brisa. It's not so embarrassing. It could be great Talmidei Chacham. I always tell my children, who's the greatest Talmud Chacham you've ever met in your life? So they grew up in my house. They know. They say Rav Herschel Schachter. Okay, good. So who says I don't know more often than anybody you've ever met in your entire life? Rav Herschel Schachter. He always says I don't know. Half the time it doesn't mean I don't know. It just means something else. Whatever. There are five different explanations, but not for now. It's not an embarrassment to not know. Sometimes you don't know certain things. Sometimes you don't know every single brisa. That's not something that's a source of busha. So the Chassam Sofer says that when Rava was asking Rav Avya this question, Rava didn't know this. Rava didn't know the brisa. He didn't know that Rav Avya was going to come back with the brisa. He thought Rav Avya was going to say, Rava, how could you ask this question? You allow being metaltal shivrei cheres for Rosh HaSarabim. You even allow carrying broken pieces of pottery in Rosh HaSarabim. So just like because you hold that they could be used to clean off your shoes from any mud that they have, you can take a piece of cheres. So because cheres in cheres, and you're allowed to carry it around for that purpose, since cheres can be used to cover a kli. That's what we're going to see. That's Rav Shita much later in the Masech Nadav Kufn and Dalet and Beis. So Kol Shekein, we could be moving Ner, which is an actual kli, which is not just shivrei cheres. And then Rava's plan was, oh, you're going to quote to me that you're allowed to carry shivrei cheres to clean off your shoes? Why couldn't you clean off your shoes before you put your shoes all over my couch? That's what he was planning. But Rav Avya didn't play along. He didn't quote Rava to himself. Instead, he quoted a braisa. He quoted a more authoritative source. And that's what the Brich Rachmana, the Lo Kasife Rava the Rav Avya. That's how the Chassam Sofer explains the conversation over here. Okay, so now Abaye asks the Stira in Shitas Rabbi Shimon. So Ramile Abaye le Rabba. Tanya, we have a braisa. Mosar Shem Shem Never Shem Kara Aser. Whatever oil is left over after the candle gets extinguished at some point on Shabbos, that leftover oil is usher to be metaltel, but Rabbi Shimon matir. Rabbi Shimon holds that oil is mutter, meaning just because it was muktza ben hashmashos, it's not muktza the rest of Shabbos. As soon as the candle goes out, it's mutter. So Alma the Rabbi Shimon lesley muktza. Apparently Rabbi Shimon is not concerned with the isra muktza. But Uraminhu, I'll ask you a stira from Mishnah Meseches Beitza. The context of the Mishnah Maseches Beitza is about a bechor. The halacha is that a male firstborn animal from a kosher animal, you have a mitzvah to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, should be makriv itzei murim on the mizbeach, like a korban shlamim, and then the kohanim eat the meat of that korban. These are psukim in the Torah. But if the bechor gets a mum kavua, a mum that's gonna stick around, so then you have to give it to a kohen, and a kohen could shecht it and could eat it wherever he wants. Meaning it's not brought as a carbon. And that this halacha, by the way, even bisman hazeh, if you have a farmer that that has b'char be'ema ta'ora that's born into his flock, he's got a real problem because it's kachim, it becomes asir, and we don't have any kohanim that are able to paskin on a mum kavua anymore. And besides, most of them won't have a mum kavua, so it's a real problem. So what they do, if you have a Jewish farmer, is they do like a mechiras chametz, they do a mechira of the mother that has much earlier precedence than mechiras chametz. That already appears in the Gemara that they would sell the mother. They would sell the mother to a guy, and a bechar that's born into a non-Jew's flock does not have kedushas bechar. So that was the trick around. That's how they would get around it. But anyway, in that context, Rabbi Shimon, what if you have an animal that was a bechar and it had a mum, but you didn't notice it before Yontif started, and then on Yontif you see the mum. So the question is, can you assume that you're allowed to shecht it now because it had the mum? It has a mum kavua, and it had the mum even when Yontif started, so it's not muksa. So Rabbi Shimon Omer kol she'ein mumo nikar me'erev Yom Tov. You didn't notice the mum on Erev Yom Tov, ein zeh min amuchan. Then it's going to be muksa. Ooh, so you see that Rabbi Shimon holds because at Peinash Mashos you didn't think you'd be able to use it. That becomes muksa for the rest of Shabbos, even though something changed over Shabbos. Aye, but didn't Rabbi Shimon tell us that when the candle gets extinguished, you're now allowed to use that, you are allowed to use that oil. It does not become muksa for the rest of Shabbos. A stira within Shitas Rabbi Shimon. So says Gemara, hachi ashtam. Nah, you can't compare the two cases. When it comes to the Ner, a person is waiting for the candle to be extinguished, meaning he knows that he didn't put 24 hours of oil in there, and he knows therefore that the candle is going to be extinguished, and always when a candle is extinguished, there's a little bit of oil left at the very bottom of the kli. So he knows that he's going to have access to the oil over Shabbos. But hacha, adam yoshev mitzapa masa yipol b'mum. What, a person is sitting there waiting for when the mum is going to happen in the Bechar? He doesn't think it's going to develop a mum. Meimar amar miyemar denafel b'muma. He's probably thinking to himself, there's a very solid chance that there is no mum that develops. Vimtim silamar denafel b'muma. And even if a mum does develop, miyemar denafel b'mum kavua. Who's to say that the mum that develops is going to be a mum kavua? If it's a mum over, it's not good enough. It's not going to be matir the Bechar. It used to be a form of smicha that they would have. The Gemara tells us in the beginning of Sanhedrin that yora, yora, yadin, yadin, yatir becharos. So now we have the first two kinds of smicha, of yora, yora, and yadin, yadin, that a person can pass in this or that, or a person can pass in dinim amnis, but it used to be that was a form of heterora, not actual smicha, but heterora, that they would have to get a special certificate, or whatever, a special permission from the Rebbe, that you know the halachos well enough to and you can explain them well enough that you can paskin on b'choros. So v'im tim tzilomar d'nafel b'mum kavua. And even in the person's mind, he thinks, even if it does develop a mum, and even if that mum is a mum kavua, mi yemer d'mizakik le'chacham, who's good to say that I'm going to be able to find a chacham who has this smicha, who's going to be able to paskin on that it's a mum kavua and that I'm allowed to shecht it. So because of all those sfeikos in the owner's mind, he's masiach das from that b'chor entirely. He assumes he's not going to be able to use it on yant, and that's why it's in fact muktza. That's why Rabbi Shimon holds that it's muktza. So Masav Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama asks on this answer, meaning what was the answer? That any time you think you might be able to use it on Shabbos, so then it's not going to be muktza. But if you don't think you're going to be able to use it on Shabbos, then it is muktza. So Mefirin Nedarim B'Shabbos, but a husband could be made for his wife's Nedarim on Shabbos, and some of the Gears of Achein Nishalon Nedarim Shein. But we'll leave that Gears out. Litzorech Shabbos. A husband could be made for nedarim on Shabbos if the neder is affecting the way the woman is experiencing Shabbos, so the husband can undo the wife's neder. But vamai, why would the husband be allowed to do that? Whatever it is that she had a neder against, lema mi emes mizak lebal, it should be muksa, because in her mind she should say, who's to say that my husband is going to be made for the neder? Right now the item is asur to me. So just like by the bechar, it requires the cooperation of somebody else, of a chacham, to be matir, but the woman also requires the cooperation of her husband to be mefir. So maybe it should be muktza. Says Marna, Hasam kedar of Pinchas Mishmei Derava. Damer of Pinchas Mishmei Derava. Kala noderes al das bailihi noderes. Now a woman always relies on her husband when she takes the neder, and she knows that her husband knows that it's his responsibility to take care of her nedarim. So if she were to, it's a big difference between saying who's to say that I'm going to find the chacham to be matir the mum, and who's to say that I'm going to find my husband. She should be able to find her husband to deal with her nedarim, and it's her husband's job to deal with it. Tashma says Gemara another raya. Nishalun l'nedarim shel tzorach haShabbos b'Shabbos. You could be shoal in a nedar. Now this is different. This isn't the husband. A chacham is shoal on nedarim. So you're allowed to do that on Shabbos if the nedar is a tzorach haShabbos. V'amai lema miyemar dimizdak lechacham. Shouldn't we say the same thing? Who's to say that you're going to find a chacham to be shoal the nedar for you, to undo the nedar for you, and therefore shouldn't the item be mukta? Says Gemara, no. Hasam ilam is dakle chacham sagi le b'shol shadiotos. If you can't find a chacham to be shovel on the neder, that's no problem because you can the parsha of nedarim. There's a hekesh between the parsha of nedarim and the parsha of shchutei chutz, which teaches us that just like the parsha of shchutei chutz was said to Aaron ubanav kol Yisrael, so too afaras nedarim was given to kol Yisrael. And based on that, the Gemara nedarim dafayin ches says that you could have shlosh adiotos to undo a neder, to be matir a neder for a person. So instead of being shoal to a chacham, there are always three adiotos. A hediot, Rav Shacht always points out, comes from the word idiot, right? There are always three idiots. It's not hard to find three hediotos around, three people who don't know, man. That's all you need in order to be matir a neder. So it's not such a far-fetched idea in her mind, as opposed to finding a chacham, yemer demisakli chacham, as opposed to finding a chacham, you know, where people aren't such experts in being matir mumin, and a person needs a special smicha for it. So who says you're going to run into such a chacham and that you're going to be able to take care of it in that way? Okay, so we'll stop there. And Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the reason that Rabbi Shimon holds that you're not allowed to be metaltel a lit candle on Shabbos. Have a great day, everybody.
I spent this